Steve, do you have that picture of the team? We have a member of the youth group who likes to design T-shirts, and he designed a T-shirt for the group that went to El Salvador. I'm wearing one. God is calling, and I must go. And yesterday morning at 4:30, we met at the airport. That's a picture that was taken there. And that team arrived safely in El Salvador yesterday afternoon. They're settled in, and they're ready for a long week of mission work. So I'd like to pray for them and ask you to continue to be in prayer for them throughout the week. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for getting that team there safely. And now, Lord, I pray that you would use them mightily. Lord, I pray for divine appointments. I pray, Lord, that people's lives would be touched. And Lord, I also pray for every member of the team that their very own lives would be touched, that they would be changed forever in a positive way as a result of going on this trip. Lord, may your hand of blessing be upon them and your hand of protection be upon them. Strengthen them and use them and bring them home safely. And now, Lord, as we look to your word, I pray that you would bless, encourage, strengthen. Lord, I pray for my brothers today, my fellow soldiers, the men. Lord, make them strong. Raise them up in this generation. Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're taking a break from Ephesians this morning, and I want you to look at Psalm 128. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 128. I believe this short psalm is a wonderful description of a dad at his best. Now, I recognize that not everybody here this morning is a dad, so you could see this psalm as the wonderful description of a man at his best, or even more general, as a Christian at his or her best. But we want to focus in on the dads. You'll see it's directed towards them, and we want to encourage them. Let's begin reading. In verse 1 of Psalm 128, it says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house." I love that. "Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." Verse 1 tells us what our priorities should be, our top priorities in this life as Christians. A dad at his best has these priorities. Number 1, fearing the Lord. It says there in verse 1, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord." A dad at his best is a dad who fears the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, I want you to know that the fear of the Lord is a dominant theme throughout the Bible. Everywhere, Old Testament, New Testament, Christians are encouraged to live their life in the fear of the Lord. We see the fear of the Lord in the book of Psalms. We see it in the book of Proverbs, which is known as the book of wisdom for living life. Proverbs chapter 1 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs chapter 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 10, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days." Proverbs 14, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence." Proverbs 16, "By the fear of the Lord one departs from evil." Proverbs 22, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." In Acts chapter 9, it says the early church grew and multiplied because the Christians in the early church walked day by day in the fear of the Lord. The book of Revelation says, "World, look out, God is coming, fear the Lord." All of us as Christians should walk in that fear of the Lord. Dad, that's how you should walk. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord, listen, is having a profound reverence and respect for the Lord. Walking in the fear of the Lord is living your life day by day out of a profound reverence and respect for the Lord. And your fear of the Lord springs forth from your knowledge of who He is. The idea, guys, listen, is you know how big God is and how puny you are. You know that there's this incredible God. God is your creator. He made you. You fear Him. God is holy, righteous, perfect. God is other. You fear Him. God is omnipotent. He can do all things, so you fear Him. God is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows everything about your life, so you fear Him. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's with you at all times. So you fear Him. And you understand that the Bible says that we are all accountable to God. One day we will stand before God. Listen, God holds the eternal destiny of your soul in His very hands. And so you fear Him. You give Him the ultimate respect. Guys, you may have some mentors, some people that you really look up to, maybe a businessman that you look up to, or an athlete, or somebody that you look up to in your field or your career. And if you were ever around that person, you'd show this respect. Show the ultimate respect to God. Amen? You may respect your boss because he can promote you or fire you. Fear the Lord. The dad at his best is the man who fears God. And out of that reverence comes obedience. It says in verse 1, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who," what? "Walks in His ways." That is the dad at his best. That guy who fears the Lord and out of that fear and respect walks in the ways of the Lord. Living according to what God has spoken, what He has declared is righteous and true in life. You know, when you fear the Lord, you're going to avoid those things that displease God. You're not going to get involved in unethical business practices. You're not going to treat people poorly. You're not going to engage in sexual immorality or in revelry. You won't lie. You won't steal. You won't cheat because you're a man of God and you fear the Lord and you want to walk in His ways and please Him. Walking in the ways of the Lord is also deciding in your life as a man, I am going to do that which pleases the Lord. I am going to worship the Lord. I am going to be involved in church. I am going to nurture my relationship with the living God. I will spend time with God. I will pray. I will lead my family spiritually. And speaking of walking in the ways of the Lord, Dad, listen. The most important responsibility that you have on this planet in your life, according to God's word, is that you would be the spiritual leader of your home. That Dad would set the temperature spiritually in the home. That Dad leads the home spiritually. We are told in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Most important thing, man, be a good and godly husband. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and you fathers, specifically, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Do you see that it is the dad, primarily in the family, that is to teach the children, to train them up in the ways of the Lord? Now, I know in a lot of families, moms do that and dads kind of act disinterested. Or in a lot of families, they say, well, we'll let the Sunday school teachers teach the kids. Or, hey, we're sending them to a Christian school, let them do it. Listen, all those things are supplements to the dad teaching, being involved in raising those kids in the faith, being the example of faith. Moses told all the dads in Deuteronomy chapter 6, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Do you see that it's the dad, every way possible, day by day, always looking for ways to instruct the children in the ways of the faith. Walking in the ways of the Lord. Being that spiritual leader. James Dobson said, the father's most important responsibility is to communicate the real meaning of Christianity to his children. I agree with that. Dad, I know that we have different roles. I know that a lot of us as dads, we feel ourselves as the provider. I go to work and I pay the bills. I take care of the family and I'm very big. And you know what? You have that role. That's a great role. You should be good in that role. And then I think a lot of dads, they take on the responsibility of getting those kids ready for the world, you know, getting them life skills. You got to do well in college. Here's how you excel in athletics or in academics, and we worry about all those kinds of things, the life skills, absolutely important. A dad should do that. But don't forget about spiritual truth. Don't forget about spiritual education. It's been said that he who provides for this life but takes no care for eternity is wise for a moment but a fool forever. I love what D.L. Moody used to say. He used to say, before a child reaches 7, teach him all the way to heaven. Oh, Dad, don't forget about that primary role. How they need you. And you know what? Dads provide a unique influence in a family. You can't replace it. When a dad follows the Lord, when a dad fears the Lord and walks in the ways of the Lord. The influence is incredible. A study was once done, and it disclosed that if both parents attend church regularly, 72% of their children remain faithful. If only the dad attends regularly, it drops to 55%. If only mom comes, it plummets to 15%. If neither parent attends, but they just send the kids, only 6% remain faithful. Of course, God can overcome the percentages as we seek him, so a single mom shouldn't lose hope. But it does show the important influence of godly fathers on their kids. You hold that special place. Take that very seriously, guys. A dad was climbing a mountain with his son, and they came to a difficult part. And the dad stopped to consider the best route up. Behind him, his son called out, "Choose the best path, Dad. I'm coming right behind you." Choose the best path, Dad. I'm coming right behind you. Be that example. In other words, Dad, I want to encourage you this morning on Father's Day. The most important part of your life, the most important relationship in your life should be your relationship with God. That has to be there. You need to make that relationship a priority. If you're here this morning as a dad and you don't have a relationship with God, then I invite you to have one. And I will give you an opportunity this morning to enter into a relationship with God. But if you're a Christian man and you already have that relationship with God, I invite you to make that the number one. See, the vertical relationship must be there if you want all the horizontal relationships to be fruitful and healthy. Now, I can hear some of you thinking, "Preacher, I'm busy. I'm working. I do 50, 60 hours of work every week. And then when I'm off work, I have to mow the lawn. I have honeydews. I have all sorts of things that I need to take care of. I'm out there making a living. And I'd like a little bit of time off for some recreation." And you're telling me that number one in my life needs to be serving God, following him, and you're thinking, where am I going to get all the time? And if I spend time engaged in that relationship with God, isn't that going to take away from being productive in the other areas of my life? Listen, I understand you're busy. I understand it. But if you're a Christian man, you make God number one, and guess what? He'll bless every other area of your life. In fact, what does it say there? "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord." Look at verse 4. "Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." That's the idea. You are going to be happy. You are going to be content. If you are the man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways, then you're going to have the blessing of God poured out on every area of your life. And you're going to have his supernatural touch in every area of your life. It's awesome. Don't think of it as, "Oh no, it's more to do." Think of it as, my number one is God, and God's touch is going to be upon every area of my life. Look what it says of the man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Look what happens to his job. Verse 2. "When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you." If God is first place in your life, guys, God's hand will be upon your work, your labor. It says, your labor will be productive. And listen to this one, guys. You'll be happy in it, and it will be well with you. Now, if you start fearing the Lord and walking in the ways of Christ and living that life, that doesn't mean you're going to become a millionaire. But it does mean, and I see a promise in Scripture, the man who puts God first finds satisfaction in work and is taken care of in work. There's happiness there. And I actually believe that God many times will bless a godly man financially, abundantly, because that man can be trusted. And you know that when God is really blessing a person's life, not only will he bless them financially, but he'll give them the peace to enjoy it and get sleep at night. You see, I know a lot of wealthy people and they're not very happy. In fact, in their wealth, they have all these troubles and anxieties and concerns. A man who's blessed of God is taken care of and has peace. Satisfaction. It's well there. Oh, let God's blessing spill over into your job. Do you think God cares about our work? You know, there's a lot of Christians that think, well, you know, I have work and then I have church. And when I come to church on Sunday, that's God's business. When I go to work Monday through Friday, that's my business. And I take care of that. And let me encourage you. Bring God into your career, into your work Monday through Friday, day by day. Put him first. And just see if you won't see his supernatural touch upon what you do. He does care. I remember when I was working before we moved here to plant the church, I was working in Albuquerque as an engineer. And I've shared this story before, but I so many times God reminds me of this and how he really cares about our work. I was working as an engineer and I was in the most boring job ever. I was in this office and my job was to press a button and watch the computer run. And I would watch, after I watched the computer run, I'd watch the clock move. Have you ever had a job where you're watching the clock for 8 hours a day? Oh, terrible. And I remember thinking, Lord, what am I doing? And I remember even thinking, God, I'm sorry you have to be here with me. I'll bet you're bored too. And I said, Lord, do something, do something. I cry out, give me excitement. That very next week, I was called into the office and I was put on a new task. I became one of the chief computer programmers for the airborne laser program. They put a laser on a plane and it would fly around in a theater of war, and it would shoot down missiles. And I was able to be one of the chief programmers, and it had to deal with Middle Eastern threat and prophecy. The program was called Isaac and Esau. Wow! And for the next year and a half, man, I was in exciting work. And God had even blended my interest in Bible prophecy with the very job that I was doing. God cares. God cares about what you do. You think, well, if I serve the Lord, if I really put him first, it's going to cut into the time and it's going to make me less productive. No, give your life to Christ. Let God be number one and let him touch every area of your life. The man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Huh. When you eat the labor of your hands, you'll be happy. And look at verse 3. God's blessing will be upon your home. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. I think this is one of the most beautiful scenes. Here's a picture of a family. They're actually sitting down together for a meal. There they are at the table. This man, he loves God and he's following God and he fears the Lord. And there he is sitting at the table. And right at the very heart of his house, the very heartbeat of his home, there's safety. There's fellowship. His wife is fruitful. Oh, she's prospering and blossoming in all that God has called her to do. There's love there. There's joy. There's children. Little olive plants sitting around that table. And by the way, that's a wonderful picture. If you plant an olive tree and let it run its natural course, a circle of olive plants 12 to 15 feet from the base of the tree will spring up. And then in a few years, they'll be just like the adult tree, but all of their connection will be below the surface, out of sight, underground. And so you have the picture of this beautiful, healthy family with children. And the children are there growing up in that house, and there's so much potential. And yet it speaks of you as the parents, you as the dad. You have to cultivate them. Build into them. Instruct them. And in a home like that, children find such safety, such support. I heard a sad story. There was a teacher of a third grade class, and she asked every student what they wanted to become when they grew up. And one student said, president. Another student said, a fireman. Another student said, I want to be a teacher when I grow up. One by one, they answered until it came to Billy's turn. The teacher asked Billy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, possible. Possible, asked the teacher. Yes, Billy said. My mom is always telling me I'm impossible. So when I grow up, I'd like to become possible. Mom, Dad, listen. You fear the Lord. You walk in his ways. You be that man of God. And you build into your children. And you tell those olive plants, there is so much potential. There is so much possibility in your life. Follow me as I follow the Lord. Let that be your number one. And let me just have a word with some of the olive plants here this morning. The teenagers, kids at home. There's a command for you in the scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live a long life on the earth. Kids, obey your parents. Now, I know some of you think you know a lot more than your parents. You're wrong. I know a lot of teenagers and they think, well, my parents, they don't know anything. Your parents have a lot more life under their belt. And the scripture commands you to obey them. They're looking out for the best for you. Mark Twain said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished how much the old man had learned in 7 years. See, you're in the house and you think you know everything, but you're not paying mortgages. When you grow up and you get to be about 21, 22, and you start paying the bills and really having some responsibility in your life, you're going to look back at Dad and say, wow. And so right now, honor him. Respect them. God's blessing upon work, God's blessing upon the home. I see here God's blessing upon the health and the longevity of the man's life. Verse 5, the Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. May you be a grandpa one day. The man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways, in general, will live a long, healthy life. Because listen, when you're following the ways of the Lord and you're obeying his commandments, you're living the safest life. See, God gives us rules and commands not to give our lives, make our lives a bummer, but to give our lives safety. And so like last week when we talked about how it says in Ephesians that don't be drunk with wine. Don't be continually abusing alcohol. If you obey that command, you're going to live longer. Walking in the ways of the Lord and fearing him promotes health. Longevity. Dads, there's so much blessing that comes in putting the Lord first. And then I want you to notice also that you will have a tremendously positive impact on society. Look at verse 5 again. It's a prayer. It's a blessing. It says, the Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. What the psalmist is saying, may you see the good of the society, Jerusalem. May you see the good of the nation in which you live. May there be peace in your nation and health in your society because you're a man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. The idea is this. When you have godly men who lead godly families, then you have a positive impact on society. Now, I look around society today and I see it disintegrating. And you know why society is disintegrating? Because the families in America are disintegrating. And you know why many families disintegrate? Because the dads aren't there. The dads are doing something else. Oh, I encourage you, my brother, if God has blessed you as a husband and a father, pour into that family. One family at a time, and let's take society back. Years ago, J. Allen Blair wrote, during the past 10 years, an army of over 30 million people have come to the United States. Because they have arrived one by one, appearing innocent and harmless, we have not suspected their potential power. Someday soon, however, we shall awaken to the fact that this army has taken over our nation. They will publish our papers, operate our radio and television stations, control our churches and teach in our schools. They will capture Washington and dominate the federal government as well as the administration of each state. They will take over business and industry, including the control of atomic energy. Complete authority will be in their hands. All that will remain for the rest of us will be to submit and die. This army, of course, is an army of children. And we have the power to decide whether these future conquerors of our country are to be pagan or Christian. Let's lead them in faith. Oh, see the blessing, Dad. See the blessing in work, at home, your health, in the community. And you trace all that blessing back to a man who says, you know what? I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to walk in his ways. I'm going to stand for God. I encourage you, Dad. You may be here this morning and you've given your life to Christ and you love the Lord, but you know that that area in being the spiritual leader of your home, that sort of slipped out of the priority list. I invite you to bring it back into the top. You might be here this morning and you're thinking, well, my children are gone or my children are getting older now. And you think, you know, I haven't been that. And maybe you're even feeling a little guilty about that. Listen, start now. Start now. Make God number one in your life right now. Be the godly grandpa. You know, there's always hope when you turn to Christ. God can make up for a lot of lost time. Turn to Him. Decide now, you know, I'm going to be that man of God that I need to be for my family. You may be here this morning and you know that you need to have a relationship with God. It's tough being a man. It's tough with all the responsibilities and being a good husband and dad. And I want you to know you can't do it by yourself. You don't have to do it by yourself. You can do it by the power of God. I invite you, my brother, if you've never received Christ, do that today. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We just sang a song about it. At the cross, He paid the price for your sin. If you invite Him to be your Savior and you ask Him to wash away your sins, He will. He'll come into your life. He'll change your life. You'll be filled with His Holy Spirit. And you can go forth in His power to be that man of God that you need to be. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes? Father, I thank You for the blessings that You want to pour out. Father, I thank You that You want to be the Lord of every area of our life, that You won't settle to just have one day a week out of our life, but that You want our whole life. Lord, that You want to be involved and You want to be able to bless every area of our life, in the home, at work, at school, in the community, day by day. And I pray, Lord, that we would allow You in. Lord, encourage the dads here this morning. Lord, remind us of what's most important as being dads. And then, Lord, help us to be that good example to our children and to other members of our family and in the extended community. And Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who does not have a relationship with You, whether you're a dad or not, maybe your mom, and you know that you need Christ. Maybe you're a single person, maybe you're a teenager. The invitation goes forth. We all need the Lord, and our sins can be forgiven because of what He did at the cross. If you've never received Jesus, I invite you right now to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Just in the quietness of your heart, cry out to God and say this. Say, Lord, I need You. I need You in my life. right now I invite you to be my Savior, to wash away all my sins. I admit that I have sinned. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying the price for my sins. Wash them all away. Make me a child of yours. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to follow you and walk in your ways for your blessing upon every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we?